And so this morning, we are celebrating. We're celebrating all that God has done over the past year. Hasn't God been faithful to us as a church, would you say? Yeah, I think God's been incredibly faithful to us as a church. And so this morning, we're going to unpack some of that and give a little bit of an understanding as to kind of where things are headed. How many of you love September? Okay, I love September because it feels like almost like January 1 for me. How many of you are like New Year's resolution type people? Okay, yeah. September 1 is like my New Year's. It's like the beginning of fall season, right? Kids, you're back to school. How many of you kids are back to school? Yeah, okay. How many of you excited to be back to school? Anybody? Oh, Sadie, good. Okay, yeah, Poppy, crew, you're not in school yet, buddy. But one day, I don't think he understood. But we kind of, the same thing happens in the church calendar where we kind of hit reset, restart on ministries after being away. People are back from the cottage, things like that. And so that's kind of what today is. And today really, the kickoff Sunday, how is it different than other Sundays? It really is kind of like a giant family meeting in a way, right? Like how many of you grew up having family meetings? Yeah, where your parents would sit you down. It's like, okay, we got to talk about the over, you know, the chores or whatever. And it was kind of like, oh no, not another family meeting. Okay. But I grew up with that where the family would get together. We just talk about what kind of things we have to do. That, we're not talking about chores today. So don't worry. No worries about that. But really it's like the huddle. It's getting all the family that we can together to sit together and to kind of look back, thank God of where we've come and look forward to what he's done. And really it's kind of like the huddle before we go back out onto the field of another ministry year. It's kind of getting together, spending time together, enjoying one another's company, but also looking forward to what God has for us. The great thing is that we are not starting from scratch, right? Like you think about over the past year, friends, we've seen God's faithfulness in a number of ways. I think about the number of new families that joined Milton Baptist over the past year. It's amazing. I think about earlier this spring, all the baptisms that we had, right? Wasn't that amazing? All those baptisms, and we've got some more today. Our kids, they're overfilling and filling our classrooms, and we're trying to figure out where we're going to put a third classroom, and that's exciting. That's really exciting. I think about some of you who we prayed with because you needed a job, and we prayed, and you found God gave you a job, right? We've seen prayers answered. We've also walked through the valleys with some of you who've been walking through difficult times, and we've supported you that way, and we've gotten to know one another more. And all of that is a testimony of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. You know, as we look in the rearview mirror, we can just see God's fingerprints over all of it, his faithfulness. But when I look in the rearview mirror, I also see your faithfulness. I look at many of you who have served faithfully in different roles and different ways. You've shown up Sunday after Sunday, and you've been faithful. And see, my experience is when the faithfulness of God meets the faithfulness of people, amazing things happen. Like when God comes through powerfully and people step up in obedience, it's amazing. And so this morning, I just want to talk about a few ways that I believe what God is calling us into in this next couple of years. And thankfully, it's not gimmicky. It's not tricks. We always go to the scriptures, right? Like if we want to know how to build a strong church, it's not just like the latest book or the latest method. We want to look to God's handbook that he gave us, which is the scriptures. And I'm going to try and zoom through this morning for the sake of our kids. But I'm hoping it'll give you adults something to chew on this morning as well. Let's look at this passage in Acts 2. This is kind of a description of the first church. This is often, and we've spoken on this before, but I want to just bring it to our remembrance. Let's read it together. It says this, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions, and they gave to anyone who had need. Every day, they met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes together and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, those who were being saved. What an incredible passage of the early church. And the hope is that Milton Baptist would resemble this in certain ways. So I'm going to give you four ways, and there's lots of things we could dial in on here, but we don't have enough time to dial in on. Four kind of big rocks that we need to kind of hold on to if we want to be an effective and biblical church and see people added daily to be saved. The first is this, is gather. Can you all say gather? Gather. Gather. What we see is this, is that the first and early church were people who gathered. It says they were a devoted people who met together in the temple courts and in each other's homes. It's this interesting, and maybe you could say it this way, they met in big rooms for worship, but they also met in smaller rooms for fellowship. See, a biblical church prioritizes both the large and the small gathering of the saints. the large and the small gathering. That's why some people have said that as a church grows bigger, which we have been growing bigger, as a church grows bigger, it must also grow smaller. That actually, as a crowd gets bigger, we need to provide more space for people to actually get to know one another. Sometimes people have said, Jordan, like, how big do you envision Milton Baptist getting? And I'm like, well, it's not about the numbers. It's about names and faces. But really, if I were to summarize what I think, it's large enough to dare, but small enough to care. Right? Is that a good phrase, maybe? Large enough to dare, but small enough to care. Where we can take on some causes and really make a difference. But also be what's so special about Milton Baptist, which is actually you know the people next to you and you feel cared for by the people around you. You know, in Hebrews, actually, there's this incredible passage that talks about gathering. I think it's a beautiful passage. Let's read it together. It says this, let us hold unswervingly. I never use that word, but I will now. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. He who promised is what? Faithful. He's faithful. We've talked about that. And let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Did you catch that? He says, like, don't give up meeting each other, especially as we get closer to the Lord's return. How many of you know the Lord is going to return soon? And so the closer we get to that date is the more we have to spur one another on to meet together even more so. And all through the New Testament, we see passages to encourage us to one another each other, to love one another, to cherish one another, to protect one another, these types of things. I compare it to like a good campfire, right? Of course, if we had a campfire, there's a campfire out here, a fire that we're not using today, but if we just caught a piece of a log of wood on fire, sure, it would burn, but when you add other logs to the fire, it burns brighter and hotter. Friends, every time you show up to gather with the saints is a small act of faithfulness that God uses to shape others. And what if every time we gathered, the fire burned brighter, burned hotter, and the whole town could begin to feel its warmth and see its light? Mm-hmm. Imagine the reputation of a church in Milton, that if you're lonely, if you're discouraged, if you're searching, there's a place, a 900 Nipissing, where you can experience the warmth of God's love, that we would continue to come together and gather as we have been. And so here's how gathering is going to look like at Milton Baptist over the next couple, over the next year. Of course, each and every Sunday at 11 a.m., you will find us here worshiping God, seeking and praying. Every Wednesday night, we have a small group Bible study that meets here that you are welcome to join in. We're going to continue to have the potlucks and gatherings. Those things are helpful as we continue to gather and be the family of God that we are called to be. But here's something new I want to introduce you to that I want you to consider. And one thing that I've been kind of convicted of over the past year is creating an environment for us to pray together as a church. You know, some have said that the prayer room is the engine room of the church. The prayer room is the engine room of the church. And so what we're going to do is every Wednesday evening, we have a small group that happens here at the building. But the last Wednesday of every month, we're going to put a pause on our small group and encourage everyone to come for prayer on Wednesday, the last Wednesday of every month. And why are we doing that? Because we know if we want to accomplish anything for God's sake, anything for his kingdom, we must pray. Some have said that actually every great move of God began first with a move of prayer. And so you, every last Wednesday of every month, you'll find us here praying. So the first thing we see is that the people of God, the early church, they gathered. The second thing we see is that they grew. Can you say grow? Grow. Thank you. That was a moan there. Grow. Grow. Is a grow. Okay. See, in the context of community and family and gathering, we see this communal commission and this commitment to grow together. The whole of the Christian life, friends, is this, is to learn and to grow and to be like Jesus, to mature from new baby Christians to mature Christians, to learn God's word and rightly apply it to our lives. In verse 42, you see, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They had a commitment in and of their own lives, not kind of pressured by others. They were devoted themselves. And growing spiritually is one of the key, if not the key indicator to a successful church. It's not how big it is, but how deep it is, how grounded it is. And so as we look forward to the future, it's not about numbers. It's not about big. It's about growing deep. And there's a passage that really sums this up well for me. It's in Ephesians 11. Look at this passage. It says this. It's talking about the different leadership gifts that God has given the church. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it says what they're for. Get this. Their responsibility is, if you're like me, you'd think, to do the ministry, right? No. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the ministry, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue. The church will grow and be strong. It will continue until we all become unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we are mature in the Lord. Get this in verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children, won't be tossed to and fro by every kind of wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. You know, friends, we live in a day where it's very easy and hard, actually very hard sometimes, to not know what's true and what's not true. And so what's the goal of the church? To become like Jesus, to learn the scriptures, that we will not be tossed to and fro by every new type of teaching. And then in verse 15, it says this, instead of being tossed about, instead of just kind of being pulled here and there, we will speak the truth in love. Amen. Growing in every way more and more what? Like Christ. What a great passage to describe a church. It's not afraid to speak the truth in love, but it's also at the same time wanting to become as much like Christ as possible. And he makes the whole body fit together. This goes on to say this, each part doing its own work. See, the early church was committed to gathering and committed to growing, to be grounded in God's word, to not be tossed around. And here's how it's going to look at Milton Baptist. Here, he can stay with me. That's okay. If they're here, we got to expect them to be kids, right? Here's how it's going to look at Milton Baptist, that we will continue to encourage you to grow in your daily walk with God. It's not flashy. It's not quick. It's faithful. It's daily. We will continue to preach God's word. And this year, we're excited to say this, that we are going to make a special investment in children's ministry this year because we want our kids to not be tossed to and fro like so many are. We want to have them grounded. And this year, we're going to introduce some events for our teenagers, those that are 12 and above, just for the first time. Did I hear a woo? Amazing. And so we're going to start introducing these things. And why? Because we want to see our people grow. And so the question is, would you grow with us? Would you commit to growing? This is the third thing. I'm going to keep going here, is giving. And you're like, oh, of course he talks about giving. But let's look at this passage. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They had sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You'll notice here that they sold their possessions and gave to anyone who was in need. I mean, that's a radical view of generosity. And the New Testament is full of a teaching on what it means to be generous as a church. It's full of it. And I would just like to say and thank you as our church for being generous this year. You've been faithful to this. You've helped us reach more people. But we know this, that being financially generous is just a sliver of what it means to give. It's just a sliver. If you look at this, you'll see they met in the temple and they met in each other's homes. That tells us that there was people with different roles and they were serving. It tells us that some people had to cook. Some people probably had to host. See, not only do we want people to give of their resources, which we see in the scripture, we want people to give up their time and their talents because that's what God would have us do. In the scriptures, it talks about your treasure, your time, your talents. It's funny, it's not funny, but it's interesting. In the scriptures, the church is described like a few things, like the bride, right? Beautiful picture. You see the family of God, the royal priesthood, God's building and his flock. But one of my favorites is the picture of the body, where we see this encouragement. Some of us are like arms. Other of us are like knees. Others are like noses and ears. And you can choose which one you want to be. I want to be, a bicep. That's what I want to be. But all of us are like body parts that grow and strengthen the body to serve the body. And it says this in 1 Corinthians. It says that God has placed every member where he wants it to be. Like each of you have something to offer our little church here at Milton Baptist. All of you have been given, it goes on to say in this passage, spiritual gifts to be used for the encouragement of the church. And so I've been so encouraged by you this year. Many of you have served in a variety of roles that make an incredible difference. I just this morning, I came and saw flowers up here and I'm like, someone put flowers up here. That's amazing. I didn't even know that was happening. I see in the sound booth, I see people on Sunday school teachers, those who count the offerings, those who lead worship. All of you are vital parts of the body, and without you, we could never do what we're doing. And so over this next year, we're going to continue to do that, to provide opportunities for you to get involved in that way. Lastly is this. At the end of this passage, we see not only were they gathering, not only were they growing and giving to one another and sharing, they were going. Look at this incredible last line. It describes this whole thing, and then it says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Who added? The Lord added. They were faithful. They planted, they watered, they supported, and God brought the increase. They committed to gathering and growing and supporting, and God is the one who added to the number. What I love about this passage, and Alicia, you can probably come back, I'm going to finish real soon, is that the early church was not like a holy huddle that was just focused on themselves. It didn't just look inward, but it was outward. The early church existed to reach other people. They were missional. You know, I think about this, that in being the very nature of a church is to be outward focused in a way. Like you think of a light bulb. A light bulb exists to shine, right? If it doesn't shine, it's just glass and wire, right? I think about a pen. If it doesn't write, it's just a stick. Or a knife. If it doesn't cut, it's just a chunk of steel. A car exists to drive, and if it doesn't, it's just a roadblock. And in the same way for a church, church exists to worship and glorify God, to be a community that loves each other, but to be on mission and go, to go. And if we're not going, if we're not reaching, if we're not looking outward to those who are not yet here, we're not being all that God created the church to actually be. The whole point of church is to come, to see God, worship Him, glorify Him, to come and see the beauty of our Lord, and then to go and tell. It's to come and see, come and taste, come and eat, and then to go and tell. I think about all of us when you're passionate and you love something, you don't have to be convinced to share and tell. Recently, we went to a new restaurant. It's like, it just comes out now when I chat with people, like, have you tried this thing? Have you been there? And the invitation to us as a church is to be people that come and enjoy, and we serve, and we give, and we hang out together, but we don't forget this part, to go and to share and to tell. Like I said earlier, friends, it's not about the number. It's about the names. It's about the neighbors that we know. It's about the faces of real people that if we don't go, who will go to them? Who will tell them about God's love? You know, I just think about, I was at the Superstore yesterday, a couple times actually, getting ready for today. And I ran into an old neighbor, and we haven't seen each other probably for 2 years. And I said, hey, Giles, what's going on, man? And he looks at me like, sorry, I don't remember you. I'm like, oh, that's really too bad. I'm like, you know, we used to live, we're legit neighbors for a year. He's like, oh, how's it going, man? We're chatting. And he said, Jordan, I got to ask you. He said, have you noticed that there's like this, and he's not a Christian. Is it just me or are people starting to go to church more? And I'm like, he's like, what do you make of that? And I said, yeah, man, you know, people are looking to hang on to the gospel. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for significance. And he's like, yeah, man, I've been really considering it too. And we began chatting about this, and he's just open to the gospel for the first time. And then I get home, and I log into my computer. I pull it up, and there's a news segment from CTV about how Canadians, and especially young Canadians, are coming back to church in droves. And I just think about that because it's those people, and even the people that aren't even thinking about it yet, that God is calling our little church to be thinking about. You know, we live in a day where we're always told to oftentimes ask the question, like, what about me, right? A church that goes is a church that asks this question, what about them? What about the people that aren't in here? The names and the faces. And it's not about drawing a crowd. It's about building a culture on 900 Nipissing, where people treasure Jesus, love one another, and make a difference in the world. We treasure Jesus. We love each other and make a difference in our neighborhoods. And so really, my prayer is this, is that we would answer Jesus' commission in Matthew 28. My next slide says this. It says, go therefore, this is Jesus' words before he left earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Come on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. You see that word? Go. That word is an amazing word because actually in the Greek, it means as you're going. The assumption is that as you go about your day, make disciples. As you go to work, as you go about being a mom, or as you go about being a dad, as you go doing anything, make disciples of all nations. You know, I can't help but think of just Milton in particular and how the nations are coming to Milton. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. When people used to read this passage, it meant crossing the ocean a lot of times. Go make disciples of all the nations. Now it just means crossing the street. And the invitation to us as a church is to be people who not only gather, who not just grow, but who go. And so imagine a church where every member sees themselves as a missionary to their workplace and their neighborhood, where the gospel not only spreads from here in this room, but also at dinner tables and offices and coffee shops, where broken lives are made new, hallelujah, where people can come and find rest. So the question I have as we get ready to do some baptisms is, will you continue to gather faithfully with us this year? Will you continue to grow deeply? Will you continue to give of our time, treasures, and talents for God's kingdom's sake? And will you join us in going? Where we might have the mindset of how can we see more people come to know Jesus Christ? Here's the best part, as you see at that last passage, we have this guarantee. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's faithful. He's faithful, friends. And so today, in a moment, we are going to do some baptisms. And baptisms is by far one of the greatest celebrations in the church life. Each and every time someone gets baptized, I believe we cheer and we clap here. But I also, and this is not biblical in a sense, but it's not in the scriptures. But I'm thinking that the heavens are clapping and rejoicing as well. Scriptures say that actually the heavens rejoice when someone that's lost is found. So I just wonder if we're not the only ones having a bit of a party today. Today we're celebrating with two people who are getting baptized. Baptism, I always like to say this just so everyone is clear. Baptism is not what saves you. Baptism is a symbol of what Christ has done in your heart. It's looking back. Romans 6:4 says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism in death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so what happens is when we dunk people under the water and we hold them down there for 10 or 15 seconds, I'm just kidding. When we put them into the water, it's a symbol of what Christ did when he died on the cross. And then when they rise up out of the water, it's like a symbol of new life. It's like the old way is gone. I'm repenting of that and I'm following Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. It doesn't save you. Just like me wearing a wedding ring. I had to make sure I was wearing one this time. The last time I did that, I wasn't wearing it. But just like me wearing a wedding ring, when I wear that, it doesn't make me married, right? But it tells the world I am married. It's like wearing a jersey. It doesn't make me a part of the team. Unfortunately, that would be cool. It just says, I'm a part of that team. Today, baptism is saying to the world, I'm Team Jesus. I'm in relationship with him. And so I would like to, if we could just sing that I have decided. And then I'll give some instructions shortly after that. Why don't we stand to our feet, friends, and I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us today. And over the past year, God, I think about all the people that are here and those that aren't here. God, we just are so grateful that you are moving amongst us. And so, Father, we just declare to you, God, our allegiance, our commitment to you, God, to be people who gather, people who grow, to people who give and go, Lord. Our heart is that the next year, when we look back at our next fall kickoff, we'd be celebrating more baptisms, more life change, more people that are changed by the gospel. And we say, God, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.